The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports back in studio. Our television show this week on Fox Sports Arizona. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, Brad Sessmatt, Football AZ Today. As always, though, here on the stream, things that we see across the great state of Arizona, also on a national twist. Thanks again to everybody in Las Vegas for the great shows that we had at the South Point Resort and Casino, and for Columbus for last week, JP and the company there. We appreciate their support. We are self-funded, so people like that step up and say, we believe in what you are doing, and that's how we are able to do this day in and day out. All right. On the show today, we're going to have Brock Huard because there's been a ton of NFL that's happened over the weekend, and I've got 3 days to do the tournament. Doesn't mean we're not going to do tournament today. Paula is going to be with us, the professor, and we'll talk a little tournament with her about Arizona State getting in and if she was surprised, and the U of A. U of A, when I look at this, and now the brackets came out yesterday, and by the way, the show that True TV or TBS did was just, God, it was dreadful. Just, ugh. Did you guys watch that? The audio was off. We've had audio off on occasion on things, but man, this is TBS at the highest level. Pay for a little bit of satellite time. They had these fans. They kept showing the same 20 fans holding up signs. They had the guy, the Purdue logo on his head. I got sick of seeing him. It was dreadful. Anyways, in terms of the brackets, U of A, let's just start with U of A. U of A, I think, has a pretty good chance of going to the Final Four for the first time ever under Sean Miller. Pretty good chance. It's a tough bracket, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but, like, Eric, if you look at this bracket, go over to the South. If you look at the South, it's as though the tournament committee said to Virginia, look, we know you're number one, but look at who they've got to play in that South side. Virginia's they're going to beat Baltimore County, and then they're going to beat Creighton or Kansas State, and then they're going to play either Kentucky or U of A. That's no walk in the park in a Sweet 16 game. On the lower half of the bracket for them, you know, Cincinnati, I've seen Cincinnati play once, so I don't know. A lot of these teams, everybody's going to say they've seen them play over and over and over. You can take the bracket down, Eric. I'm curious from your end. Are we seeing U of A the exact same way? Like the tournament committee people said to U of A, or let's just go with Virginia. As a one seed, you look at what Virginia's got to go through when they get to the Sweet 16 versus what Villanova's got to go through, which could be West Virginia or Wichita State.
I mean, the round of 32 game could be Kentucky and Arizona.
That's great.
In the round of 32. Like two of the all-time heavyweights in the second round.
And then Virginia would meet them in the Sweet 16, which, I mean, the buildup for that, you talk about great buildup if that's the way that they would go. It would be terrific, but I'm not even so much about U of A's draw. U of A's draw, like people talk about Kentucky. Kentucky's just a national brand. I don't think that Kentucky is the Kentucky team.
No,
named Ayton.
But they are playing well at the right time. And they did roll through the SEC and win the SEC championship. And you know how Kentucky is. They have all these young kids. And by the time March rolls around, they're all not really young kids anymore.
Sure. It's like last year when they played against Lonzo and UCLA. Everybody
right.
got all wound up about Kentucky-UCLA last year. So our opening comments, by the way, brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now, protect what matters most. Guys, protect what matters most means, have you thought about your life insurance? Well, you have to do it. You have to do it. At some point, you've got to take care of your family. You've got to take care of the things that have changed around you. Life moves fast. Protect what matters most by logging on to SagicorNow.com. Get your free quote, Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Arizona State on the other side, them making it into the tournament in the play-in game. I would agree with some of the what I read last, I think Jay Billis was all over the tournament selection committee about they didn't even watch games, they just watched results. Andy Enfield had some thoughts on this too, where he was talking about, we'll get to that in a bit, where you might as well just not even play games when the conference season started. Look, if you're an ASU fan, if you're an ASU fan, you're thrilled that you made it. Okay, I get it. It doesn't matter what I say here. It doesn't matter any sort of logic. Fans are just blind. My team made it. We got over on everybody else. And I wrote this yesterday. People just need to get over it. But I do think, here's some comments from Andy Enfield. This is the head coach at USC. They got left out, and he wasn't very happy. He was pissed. Here's Andy Enfield yesterday.
Our team is very disappointed we did not get in the NCAA tournament. We came in second in the Pac-12, a major conference, outright. We then went to the championship game, lost a heartbreaker to Arizona. It was an exceptional team last night. Our RPI is 34 in the nation, which is the highest RPI to never make the NCAA tournament. Our strength of schedule is 37, which is extremely tough. That's a much tougher schedule than a lot of teams that were in the are in the tournament. Our RPI at 34, there are teams in the tournament that have RPIs in the 60s and 70s. We're second place with a record of 14-7 in the Pac-12. We have 11 wins away from home, and supposedly road wins and neutral wins were valued. We have 11, including a lot of quad one and quad two wins. If all that matters is the quality of your best win or two on your schedule, then we shouldn't even play and should have set the field in December after the out of conference was complete.
I think that's right.
Zing!
That's a shot at ASU.
Oh, you think?
Total shot at ASU. It's a total shot at ASU. And because ASU's RPI is 58.
How did USC not make it?
Well,
how?
I can tell you, they lost to Princeton and went 13-16 at home.
It doesn't matter.
They got drilled.
It doesn't matter.
SMU.
It doesn't matter.
SMU's not good.
Their RPI is in the mid-30s.
Did ASU beat USC head-to-head?
Correct. Who finished higher in the standings?
USC did.
Who had a winning record in the Pac-12?
USC did.
Who had a better record the last 10 games of the season?
USC did.
Okay, do you want me to keep going?
Who played the championship game in the Pac-12?
And lost in overtime.
USC did. Well, not in overtime.
Or not in overtime, but they lost.
They lost, yeah. So I think if you go down, here's the thing. Larry Scott today has two teams in the play-in game.
Not good.
I mean,
not
come
good.
On. This is the conference of champions that they like to brand.
Do you think the NCAA was sort of punishing USC for their past transgressions with their basketball program? That's some of the whispers I heard.
Okay, so if you believe that, then that is why they've got U of A playing Kentucky in round two. And Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Because you have to put U of A in that conversation. If you're going to go down that path, you've got to go full circle here and say, well, how are they punishing U of A? It's kind of hard to punish a team that wins its conference tourney. It's kind of hard to punish a team.
And regular season.
It's kind of hard to punish a team except by putting them in a bracket where they were probably underseeded. As much as I've sat here and made fun, I've never said one thing negative about DeAndre Ayton. I haven't.
How can you?
And I've written that DeAndre Ayton and Sean Miller make perfect sense for the Phoenix Suns. So I'm not taking a shot at Sean, but it's very clear. And if you're the diehard red and blue U of A fan, you guys have died hard, by the way, the last 7 years because you've never made it to the Final Four. You haven't won a thing. But here's the deal. People around that program, when I'm in Vegas, they even are like, there's fatigue on Sean. Now that changes with all this. So the only way that the tournament can do anything to the U of A is to put them in a situation where they seeded Virginia, the number one overall team in the tournament. And so now they've got them in the Sweet 16, if in fact they get that far. They've got Kentucky. So they made their road pretty difficult. Rather than sending them to San Diego, they sent them to Boise. I don't know if that's the most difficult side of all this. They're playing Buffalo. I mean, that'll be a predominant red and blue crowd in Boise. Even though the U of A faithful that I talked to in Vegas, we're going to San Diego. Well, no, you're not going to San Diego. And for now, everything is pushed off to the side. FBI is pushed off to the side. I'll say that, and then something will pop here in the next few days. Just knock on wood, you know. But I think if you look at the Arizona State side of this, If you look at on Arizona State making it into the play-in game against Syracuse versus USC making it into the play-in game, maybe there's more egregiousness around USC. I don't know that. In what has gone on, what the FBI reports, I don't know that. I'm trying to make some sense of it. Maybe it's they didn't want to have two teams in the LA market. Well, they would always want to have two teams. But how about this for a thought? Because I've had this run by me by several people whose opinions I respect. Bobby Hurley is a national name. Bobby Hurley is a national brand. Bobby Hurley's from New Jersey. New Jersey's by New York. Television market size, number one. So Bobby Hurley coaching against Jim Boeheim. What do you know? It's the late game on Wednesday night. It's the prime time national game. There's some people whose opinions are outside of Arizona. They're on a national plane that said this had everything to do with the brand of Bobby Hurley. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just, please explain to me how a team could just be so god-awful, and they were, in the regular season of the Pac-12. And when people say, well, the Pac-12's really been a great conference, seriously? You just saw the end result here, two teams in the play-in game. It's fine for Arizona State. It's fine for the program. But you cannot sell the idea of, well, you know, the regular season of the Pac-12 means an awful lot to the tournament now. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because there was nothing there along the way that said, wow, that's an impressive victory from the end of December through the first part of March. Their game in the first round when we were in Vegas against Stanford was just, God, it was bad. Colorado. It was just bad. It was not great basketball. So they make it in, and now you look ahead to a showdown with Syracuse and Jim Boeheim. I think Arizona State wins that game, and then they move on through the tournament. We'll talk more brackets as the show progresses. Brock just texted. He's in a show meeting, so we'll have him coming up at 10:45-ish. Up next, we'll turn our attention to some of the things around the NFL, more on the tournament, and Tiger. Tiger was so great to see Tiger Woods. Then Paul at the bottom of the hour. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. So it's an interesting week ahead when LeBron James and Kevin Love are here, which they are tomorrow night. The Suns host Cleveland tomorrow night. You have ASU going into March Madness. You have U of A going into March Madness. GCU, we're going to hear from Dan Marley here in a second. There's some NFL stuff that I wanted to get in on today's show. And I'll talk further about this with Brock coming up. But the Cardinals' pursuit of Kirk Cousins, we went over that last week and whether or not they should pay the maximum amount to go get Kirk Cousins, letting go of Tyrann Mathieu and deciding what they're going to do with Adrian Peterson. I think there's no decision. They release Adrian Peterson and that happens. So there's going to be some Cardinals stuff this week. Free agency starts this week. You would think that there'd be some news on an offensive lineman and there'd be some news at quarterback this week around the Cardinals. And we're fine if it's Kirk Cousins, but I myself don't feel as though that that's the direction it's going to go, at least if I'm to believe agents, which these agents have no reason to lie to me. Richard Sherman of the 49ers has upset a lot of Arizona Cardinal fans because they want their team to do something. And when it comes to free agency, usually free agency is done to fix things that you've messed up on when it comes to the draft or just simply by need. In this case, the Cardinals haven't drafted quarterbacks outside of Logan Thomas. And so they have not gone out and sought to groom somebody to replace the veteran in place. Obviously, Steve Keim, Michael Bidwell's view is we don't need to draft to get our quarterback. Let's just go find the veteran one and we'll go draft at other positions. And there's different strategies about it. You know, when you're picking 15th this year, as it sits right now, maybe you're not in a position to go get a quarterback. And so you address it through free agency. I don't think that there's ever a reason to crush a team, especially with a general manager that has a good track record. The opposite side of that is, well, they haven't made the playoffs the last couple of years. General manager's got to get it done. The general manager hasn't put a winning team on the field. You're correct, but I think if you look at the overall body of work, you have to look at it and say they've done a pretty good job. There are going to be mistakes. It happens. I'm willing to give Steve Keim the benefit of the doubt. I don't think there's any reason to get all wound up about this. You start bringing in high-priced veteran guys if you feel like you don't have the right culture and the right chemistry. I get that. But you could also tie yourself up and be in cap hell if it doesn't go the right direction. So, easy. Tiger Woods, if Tiger had won today, or yesterday. Today's show would have been like a Tiger Woods hour-long show. Those that don't like golf will say, I don't like Tiger Woods. Those who, and I won't watch, those who don't like Tiger Woods but like golf had to have watched yesterday. It was a 75-degree day. You guys know where I'm at on this. In the day and age of DVR, there's no reason to waste a day. But I wasted an afternoon. I watched every one of his shots. I went from Golf Channel on the third hole all the way over to the end with Tiger Woods yesterday. Every shot. It was gripping. My wife was sitting there watching it. She was over at her sister's house, and she's watching Tiger Woods, and she's talking to me about it. Anybody that I know in my circle that's a sports fan yesterday was paying far more attention to Tiger on the golf course. The ratings were up 200% on Golf Channel. Well, that's possible, but they just were way up, and they listened 200%. And Tiger ended up coming right down to needing a birdie putt on 18. And the thought that Phil Mickelson won a week ago and Tiger this weekend takes second and the Masters is just a month away and both of them are rounding into form, to me, is everything that I want in sports. It's everything that I want. I'm all about the good story. I'm not about what the hottest, latest fashion trend is. I don't care. You know, I'm not about, well, let's just do this topic because it's going to get us a bunch of clicks. It doesn't equate to what we do. I'm into the story of Tiger Woods coming back, which is terrific yesterday. He finished a stroke back of Paul Casey and was right there in a position, made some shots. He made a shot on Thursday, a little par three that left it about a foot and a half short of a hole in one. He made a birdie putt yesterday on 17 that had the gallery, and the galleries were huge yesterday. You could hear it in the announcer's voice. We finally have something around this sport. This sport is nothing without Tiger Woods, and it's not. No offense to your favorite golfer, but that's just a fact. And he's playing again this coming weekend. He's playing the Arnold Palmer this weekend, so of course I'm going to watch. Speaking of good stories, Grand Canyon University. This is why I like New Mexico State. I watched that game Saturday night. New Mexico State, as a 12 seed, they're pretty darn good. They've got some tough guards. And Grand Canyon's season came to an end. It wasn't a pretty effort on their part. They played about as hard as they could. But the effort offensively was just tough. They turned the ball over too many times. And I felt bad for Dan Marley because I thought when we were up there that they were just coming into their own. Tight game, a game they had a bit of a spurt on, and then they just fell apart. New Mexico State took over, and they ended up losing. The emotion of Dan Marley after this game, that's why I love him as a coach. It's the same deal with Bobby Hurley, except Dan doesn't get on officials as much as Bobby. Here was Dan Marley after they came up just short in the WAC championship game on Saturday night.
Keontae, as Keontae said, he's done a great job of building the culture. Keontae's a big culture guy. Josh was a big culture guy. They set the tone, and now it's up for Alessandro and the rest of the guys to continue that. And they know what is expected of them. We're expecting to win the WAC. We're expecting to win the tournament, and we're expecting to go to the NCAAs. We expect to be a top 25 team. And if we don't expect to do that, then I ain't going to be here. And those guys understand that. And is that a lofty goal? Of course it is. But that's just the way it is. So this was a great step. I mean, 5 years in the NCAA in the program for Division I, and we're winning 20-plus games, and so they know what's expected of them, and next year it's going to be the same thing. We're going to grind it out, and we're going to work hard every day, and we're going to get after it, and I'm going to demand him, and he's going to get better every day, and we're going to continue to recruit, and we're going to be a top 25 program, period. That's it. So they know what that's all about. And if they don't want to be here, they'll leave. But the guy like him, that's what he wants. That's why he came here. He sees it. He sees the university. He sees the program. He sees the campus. He sees what we're trying to do. He sees our facilities. So I recruit guys knowing that I expect a lot out of them. And I ain't stopping. And they know I'm not stopping. So I'm going to get guys like Alessandro, and we're going to keep going. On the backs of a guy like Keontae, who brought it every day in practice, never missed a day in practice. That's what we're going to do. And Alessandro's going to be front and center for the next 3 years, period.
All right, and I like that. I'm watching Alessandro Lever play on Saturday night in the WAC championship game. And outside of DeAndre Ayton, there's not a better big man going in our state. And outside of DeAndre Ayton, I haven't seen on the West Coast You don't need to tell me about Bagley. I know about Bagley far too well. On the West Coast, give me five better big men than Alessandro Laver, and he's sitting over at Grand Canyon University. The guy who's drilling threes and then coming inside with little left-hand hook shots, playing well, and he's just a freshman. He played really well.
It's interesting what Marley said, Brad, about Keontae Vernon, because I've seen enough GCU basketball, especially I noticed it this past weekend and last week when we were up in Vegas. Marley and Vernon go at one another
yes.
during the game.
Yes.
But Marley is always the first one to say, just talk about his competitive attitude mm-hmm. and the fact that I think Marley almost likes the fact that Vernon is probably one of the only players on that current roster that actually challenges Marley a little bit, because Marley asks so much of the players. And you could see, I mean, like Vernon would come over the sidelines and it was like they were yelling at each other. But clearly it's just two really competitive individuals.
Heat of battle.
And then when the game's over, Marley talks nice about all the players, talks about the effort. And yeah, it was disappointing because Friday they played so well
yep.
against Seattle. And Saturday, New Mexico State's just a different animal. I mean, they're just so explosive offensively.
Yeah, and people will be laughing about, well, you're talking about New Mexico State and Southern Utah and so on and so forth. It's the conference that they're in. And the amount of fans and the enthusiasm from the – look at that. I mean, it's – if you go see the enthusiasm from U of A in Las Vegas, it's the same thing. But it's not the students. It's people that are they're, you know, 50, 60, 70 years of age that travel with them. That's how it is. I was surprised on GCU's front that they're going to play again, and Eric's going to go Wednesday night. They're playing in one of the BCI, I think it is, or one of the smaller tournaments. One of the tournaments that they have in the postseason. I was really surprised that the NIT didn't take them from this standpoint. The NIT could have had a building that was filled. It would have been on ESPN because ESPN has the NIT deal. Not in these half-empty buildings. I felt like if ASU didn't make, and for those of you that were just, 100% sure ASU was going to make it, good for you. Go buy a lottery ticket. You got it figured out. I felt like if they didn't, that ASU, GCU, and it would have been played at GCU because ASU had already told, I was told by ASU people in Vegas, we're not hosting a NIT game.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you. We have some breaking news
sure.
on the college basketball front.
Yeah, who quit?
So U of A lead assistant Lorenzo Romar.
Going to Pepperdine.
He is. He is going to Pepperdine. Great hire by the Waves, because Lorenzo Romar knows Southern California when it comes to recruiting. So
what does this mean? It means Lorenzo looked around at the landscape and said, I want to be back being a head coach.
Could be. And that's a good landing spot for him.
He'll recruit LA and he'll do it well.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
Sort of like Herb Sendek recycling himself at Santa Clara.
That's right. All right, Paula Bovin's next. And then Brock. Brock's going to have a show meeting. We'll have Brock with us. But the professor on the other side, ASU into March Madness, and other stuff with Paula the professor next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now much more on March Madness, NCAA tournament, just things going on with the professor, Paula Bovin. She joins us from Arizona State over at the Cronkite School. Before we get to that, the most important matter at hand is you were asked to leave a table yesterday. I'm not going to name the name of the restaurant, but I saw on your social media that this is an ethical debate, guys. So set up for us what happened and why was it you were asked to leave?
So, So I was out at breakfast with some friends, which I often do on Sunday morning. We were at a restaurant in Scottsdale that kind of specializes in breakfast. I don't want to name them because, frankly, everything else about the experience was good.
Okay.
Get there at 9. We have our meal. We get our check about 10:15. And we pay our check, and then we're talking a little bit, and probably about 8 minutes after we paid our check, the waitress, or hostess, I think it was, comes over and asks if we could leave the table because a lot of people are waiting. And she did say, you know, you can go wait in the lobby area and have some coffee and talk or something, but I don't usually put stuff out like that on social media, but I had never had that happen before, and frankly, it bothered me a little bit. I waitressed a lot when I was young. I know kind of how restaurants work, and so I just put it out there what people thought, and it was really divided. I was surprised how divided it was. Where do you stand on it?
I would say, well, let's go through some questions I would have. Sunday morning, how long was the wait? Did it look like to you? Obnoxiously
so when
long?
We were leaving, I'm guessing it's probably a 20-minute to half-hour wait,
okay.
I'm guessing.
So not that bad, but it's Sunday morning. It could be worse. There were four of you, five of you. How many were in the party?
There were four of us and two children.
Okay.
Two well-behaved children.
Yes. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that wasn't an issue.
And the amount of the tip?
We all paid our own, and we are all 20 percenters.
Okay, all 20 percenters. So mm-hmm. they need to leave you alone. Come on. I mean, if they short tipped you, I've had that happen to me once as well. And it was just the two of us, and the line was, it was an hour wait. And I wasn't mm-hmm. that put off by it because it was, again, we have a nice bar here. If you'd like to go in and have a cocktail, it was a dinner time. Go, you know, make yourself. Breakfast is a little different.
Right.
I think breakfast is your kickback. You're relaxed, tough. So did you guys do it? Did you move or do you like, no, we're not going?
We left, and I also did something I usually don't do. The hostess apologized. She said, I hope I didn't come across as rude. And I said, no, you didn't come across as rude at all, but I will tell you, I think it's bad business that you did that. Just a very casual little conversation. But
right.
I just, I don't know. I thought it was just a strange thing.
All right.
Anyway,
here we go. I'm not going to ask the name of the restaurant. So
I'll share it to you off the air.
That's fine.
It is not far from you.
It's not far from you. Well, okay.
Not far from your work.
All
yeah.
Right. All right. Arizona State making it into the tournament. I wrote last night, get over it, because they're in.
Right.
Andy Enfield is whining about it today with USC, but I do see his point.
Sure.
I'm curious from your point of view, because you're going to be in this space, Paula.
Yeah.
You're going to be in this space this year. So how did you take yesterday?
So I'm not just saying that because of my future role here with College Football Playoff Committee. The people that think there are conspiracies going on are nuts. I don't believe there is anything to that. I think it's fun debate, but I did their mock selection for the NCAA tournament a couple years ago in Indy and went through the process. And it is very much about crunching numbers and thoughtful and honest and moral discussions. I mean, it was not, I don't think there's any, anything bad going on here. Now, I think people put a priority on different things. And I could see, I think, frankly, maybe both ASU and USC deserve to be in. Maybe USC ahead of Syracuse, somebody like that. But I don't know how you can argue ASU when you look at how they've done against the top teams in the tournament. I mean, I think that was a deal breaker in a lot of ways.
But
USC was 0-2 versus UCLA, 0-2 versus U of A. They lost to ASU and they lost to Oklahoma. So when you're kind of looking at the field that way, I don't know. It's tough. Go ahead, Brad.
And Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's terrible. Oklahoma lost to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma lost 11 of 15 in conference. How they got in, it's two words, Trey Young. That's it. That's the only reason why they got in. There's two words around.
You're one of those conspiracy guys. Okay.
Yeah. I'm nuts, as you said. So
right.
Bobby Hurley's a national brand. Bobby Hurley in the late show on True TV Wednesday night against Jim Boeheim in New Jersey, New York. That sells versus Wofford. No offense to our buddy Bill Goodykoons. It just sells better. I mean, ASU was so bad. Did you see them against Colorado? Oh, my gosh, it was dreadful. And I know what they did.
But people have to remember that, I don't know, it's like 5 or 6 years ago, the committee took out of the formula how a team has performed in what, I think it's last 10 games. There
Correct.
Used to be something in there. That is not part of it now. So when one of our writers was on a conference call with the committee a couple of weeks ago, he asked specifically how that matters, and he said it doesn't. We look at single games individually, not when they happened. So I think ASU, for some, it looks really bad because of how they finished, but that is not something that the committee is taking into account. You know, I mean, the bottom line for me, I think there's like 8 good teams, and everybody else under that is kind of the same. I mean, there are, of all those, ones awarded bids and things like that, they are pretty much the same teams. So from 9 to whatever, you know, 30 or whatever. So I don't have a big problem with anybody that got in, and the ones that are complaining all probably could have done something a little better.
Okay, Larry Scott has got to be looking at his conference saying, I've got two teams in the play-in game, and this is it. So, yeah. So, and you've talked to Larry a ton. I've talked to Larry a ton. To think that there isn't something wrong with what's going on West Coast basketball, this isn't a one-year deal, Paula. Every year it seems like it's a struggle for this conference to get more and more people in. I go back to the DirecTV Pac-12 network deal, which isn't changing anytime soon. I get that.
Right.
But you can't feel as though the conference is in great standing, not even just this year, in general. When was the last time a Pac-12 team won a championship?
Yeah, no, it's I've watched a lot of college basketball this year, and when I see some of those teams in the East and, you know, the talent, the depth, you know, the Pac-12 has some great single players, several of them on U of A, but the depth, I think, is where they're struggling. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, not getting televised at good times on the East Coast. I don't know if it's coaching or whatever. I have no idea. But I would say this has to be, for sure, this year, a disappointing one for the conference.
Okay. Did you take anything from yesterday in your role this year with the college football side of things? Were you watching this a little differently?
No, you know, not really. I think I am, what I was saying before, more sensitive to what people are saying about them, because I really, really do believe in the process, and I believed in it before I got this position. I never bought into the conspiracy stuff. So that part I played a little bit more, but I haven't really gone through the training of the college football playoff stuff yet. I've got my first meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. So when I'll have more of an idea of what kind of numbers and crunching and stuff like that I'm looking for then.
And I can't not talk to Paula about this year, but for those who are not aware, Paula has been named to, because they may have missed it when the announcement came out, you are part of the selection committee this year in the college football playoff. You are one of the, 13 deciding votes? You're one of 13 voices nationally. As somebody, I think as Craig Morgan wrote, you're one of the more powerful people now in sports.
Which, it's really, yeah, that
did
was
you smack
awesome.
Him upside the head, or did you
no,
like that?
No, are you kidding? I love that. I throw it in my kids' faces whenever I can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Anything else about the tournament before I get you out of here? Like, do you think U of A is going to be the team this year? Is this another year of all this hype and buildup and they flounder? I mean, what do you think?
Gosh. I know that they have maybe the best player in college basketball, so I think that can take you far. I think their matchups they match up well with a lot of good teams. They also have a tough road, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess this is my wishy-washy answer way of saying I have really no clue. I could see them being a Final Four team, and I could see them going out in the second round. I don't know. And because of all these other elements and things that have been weighing on this team, you have no idea if it makes them more inspired, motivated, chip on their shoulder, or if it becomes a distraction. I really don't know.
Yeah. No, that's well put. I appreciate your time and insight, as always. Thank you.
Okay, Brad.
See you later. There's the professor, Paula Bovin. It's good stuff. Is Brock out of his meeting yet? Yeah? All right. So I'll have Brock here next. We'll step aside here. ESPN college football analyst. He was here for a week and didn't bother to call. He was at NASCAR yesterday. So we're going to crush him. And then we're going to talk about quarterbacks in the upcoming draft, as we always do with Brock Huard. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now time to turn our attention to someone who we love having on the show. He's always great. Just a terrific guest. We consider him a friend. And then he comes to the Valley and doesn't even let us know. Well, you have to read on social media where Brock Huard is all of last week. He's in Peoria. He's enjoying himself. He goes to NASCAR. He doesn't bother to call. When I'm in Seattle, I call. He comes to Phoenix, nothing. Hi, Brock. How are you?
Well, that's a warm welcome. How are you, Bradley? Been too long.
Yeah, click. See you later. Get out of here. I didn't call to the show to get beat up. Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. ESPN 710 Seattle.
Voice,
oh, yeah.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice.
Scottsdale, Peoria. I was down in Avondale. Man,
jeez.
I couldn't cross all the 101. Just taking everything in and had just a – just a blast. I also realized I'd be nothing but an old leather shoe if I lived in Phoenix. I love the sunshine way too much, and I wouldn't get anything done. So had just a blast.
ESPN college football analyst, and of course he follows the Seahawks on ESPN Radio 710 in Seattle. Brock Heward with us. You go out of town, and Richard Sherman goes bye bye. Were you surprised by this?
Yeah. I was a little bit surprised, mostly because of his two surgeries. I thought that would be the anchoring point that he, had the Achilles that happened down in the desert down there in Glendale when he tore his Achilles during the season, and obviously had that repaired pretty quickly thereafter. And from everyone I've talked to around the Seahawks, he's trending the right way. And then he has a little nodule on his other ankle that was rubbing the Achilles, so they took care of that here about a month ago. So I thought maybe because of those surgeries, the challenge for him to get going in the OTAs and off season, that maybe that would anchor him here. But ultimately it didn't. And nobody was going to trade for that kind of contract. And obviously the market was not willing to pay anywhere near that. And what it ended up paying was, in essence, a one-year deal, highly incentivized. And I thought his wording was fairly appropriate, with Peter King. Because that's the Richard that we've known as a competitor, and he's going to compete in business the same way, and he's going to try to stick it right back to Pete and the Seahawks, and it will be fascinating to watch.
What has been the reaction in Seattle to his departure? I would think it will be similar to when Larry Fitzgerald finally says, I'm leaving the Cardinals, except he's not going to go anywhere else, I don't believe. What's been the reaction?
Well, and I think that's a huge one right there, because when Larry ends up retiring, he's going to be beloved and a god there and in the Ring of Honor and everything else. Richard is not retiring, and in fact, he's going to the divisional foe, and in fact, he's going to the team, that he was screaming and yelling at in the biggest moment after the 2013 NFC title game. So the reaction is all over the place. I would say, Brad, and you do a radio show and you take calls. In 9 years of having our radio show in Seattle, we've had 3 days where we took calls from beginning to end. Mm. After they won the Super Bowl, after they lost the Super Bowl, and after Richard Sherman signs with the San Francisco 49ers. So there was that kind of emotional reaction, and it ran the gamut from those that are peeved and burning his jersey to those that will always love him for everything he's done for the city and everything in between those two emotional. So
what is the makeup now, Brock, of the organization? Is it in full rebuilding mode from your point of view, or is this a quick turnaround?
When you've got a GM and a head coach and a quarterback in this league, I don't think you're in rebuild mode. And I'll point to the Steelers with Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay and obviously Tom and everything he's done, or Peyton and his years and Indy and Denver. I don't think when you feel good about your GM, head coach, and quarterback and an owner – that's the wealthiest in all the league, that you ever feel like you're in rebuild mode. Now, they are in turnover mode, and they're going to get a whole lot younger and a whole lot cheaper and I think a whole lot hungrier to start this thing anew. But I don't think there's anybody in that building that would ever say, oh, yeah, man, we are in rebuild mode. A year from now, when they're going to have to make a decision on Russell Wilson, who's got 2 years left on his contract, and they're going to have to start those conversations and probably start them at $30 million or above, well, then those will lead to, I think, really challenging, unique conversations. But right now, to be honest with you, there's, I think, an infusion of a whole lot of energy with John Schneider and Pete Carroll that are going to turn this thing to being a much younger, much less entitled team, and one that's going to be hungry to prove itself with a chip on its shoulder, is more than likely picked third in the division, I think, going into next season behind the Rams and the 49ers.
ESPN college football analyst Brock Heward with us. If you turn your attention to the draft, which is 6 weeks away, the reason the Cardinals are below Seattle, in your view, I would have to believe, is what's going on at quarterback down here. Who makes the most sense at 15? Will any of them be left from your point of view in analyzing these quarterbacks, assuming they don't go the veteran route? I'd like to see them go veteran and draft, but assuming they don't go the veteran route, which one of these kids makes the most sense here in Arizona?
Yeah, well, I'm right there. Yeah, I'm right there with you at 15. You have got to then, I think, go veteran and young guy, and whether that's going to be at 15 and there's somebody there that you still like, or this market just goes crazy as it always does for quarterbacks and everybody floods into the top 10 and there just isn't that guy there that you want. Maybe it's Mason Rudolph in the second or third round and you go that route. But Sam Darnold's the one for me, and he's going to go number one. And I think he's got the fewest red flags. I don't look at all the turnovers from a year ago and say, the guy can't play. I look at the year before when he led USC to a Rose Bowl win, and without him, they were nowhere near that. And by the way, went to a Rose Bowl and Cotton Bowl without missing a game or a snap or a start in his 2 years. So he's the guy, to me, that is a cut above the rest. Everybody else has enormous, so it makes me very, very nervous. Josh Allen, from all the NFL people I have talked to, has an overwhelming arm. He's going to go in the top 10. I think a Baker Mayfield would be fascinating if he was sitting there at number 15 for you all. Mm-hmm. That would be one I would love to be in a war room, and I would love to debate. And more than anything, I would love to have the last 3 months and the next 6 weeks to study him in every way imaginable. And more importantly, study everybody around him and his interactions with them and some of his just, you know, decision-making process with that. So he would be the one that would be intriguing. I don't think you go Lamar Jackson. I think a Rosen. I think all those guys are going to be gone in the top 10, and it will probably leave Arizona an environment of having to get a veteran and one of those other rookies that we talked about.
If you're looking at Baker Mayfield, is it the grabbing the crotch or is it Kansas refusing to shake his hand? I mean, which way do you come down on that? Because neither was right. But Kansas was stupid to initiate that, but he was stupid to react to that. Is that a black flag to you?
That is an emotional, competitive game day response.
Yep.
You know, I think it's much more of how do you treat the people at the Senior Bowl? I think it's much more of, you know, tell me about your marketing agencies. I think it's so much more beyond any of that, where you are just trying to get a feel for where football is really going to sit. And are you truly going to be the guy that's here at 5 in the morning and leave at 8 at night? Because every one of those guys I mentioned to you earlier, Peyton Manning, and I guess maybe Big Ben is the outlier there, and I think that started a little later in his career, because early in his career, he was there beginning to end, as is Russell Wilson, as is Aaron Rodgers, as is Peyton, as is Tom, as is Drew. And if you're, you know, drafting somebody that high to be the face of your program, it's so much more than I think those emotional responses, Brad. It is how and where is football going to sit in the pecking order of everything that you're going to have coming your way, and the attention, by the way, that he seems to enjoy.
Where do you come down on Kirk Cousins?
I like Kirk Cousins a lot, and I listened to all of you guys last week in Arizona talk about that over the last week and a half, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to seriously consider that situation for a number of the really good men on that team, and not just good football players, but good, high-character, faithful men on that team. I think it's leading him to maybe some unique conversations of just where that is going to sit as far as leadership and the quality of teammates that I'm going to play with, because I don't think he had a lot of that in Washington, and he had a very dysfunctional organization, and if there are enough quality human beings on that bus to be on with him, would he sacrifice a little to join there? I don't think he would sacrifice a lot. I don't think he has to. Would he sacrifice a little? That would be, I think, the conversation in his head, and I think he would be a home run fit. If I were in Arizona's spot, I think an awful lot of him as a person, as a leader. He lifted a program there with the Redskins that was troubled and problematic with everybody before him until he got them to the playoffs under Dan Snyder. I like him an awful lot, Brad.
I would say your last comments is why you should be the new Monday Night Football analyst. So that's just me, okay? Are you applying for that job?
That.
Are you applying for that job,
that.
Brock?
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep grinding, but and I don't envy the fellow that's going to follow the footsteps of John Gruden and his very big shoes to be filled. But that will be fun for my company to figure out.
For your company to figure out, yeah. Don't sell yourself short. I'm not trying to stir anything
all
up.
Right.
Far be it from me to do that. So, hey, it's good to hear your voice. And the next time you're in town, it'll be great to see you. And the next time I'm up there, it'll be great to see me. So how's that for an answer?
That sounds great. In fact, it'll be a few weeks. My daughter's got a little soccer tourney, so maybe we can do that on a Friday or Saturday. I'll find a way to bump into you for sure.
You know that I'm just giving you a hard time. Stay well, as always.
I know you are.
Stay
oh,
well.
I know you are. But we've been doing this a while, and it's always great to catch up. And, yeah, this NFC West, Brad, is very different than when we started these conversations 6-7 years ago. It is turned over, probably more than likely the best division in football, and going to be highly competitive next year.
Stay well. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
You got it. See you, bud.
Brock Heward there from Seattle. Always good to catch up with ESPN college football analyst and ESPN Radio 710 host in Seattle. Really good at what he does and breaks it down there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. Have yourself a great Monday.